I know that your pastor is not with us right now, and I was totally looking forward to meeting with him. But the church is in great hands. I could tell all the pastors that I already met here, such a blessing these men are. And I was thinking about back at home while I'm gone from our church in Okinawa, Japan. I have a group of my pastors who are just taking care of the ministry this summer while we are gone. So during the summer, we have a really good break at the Bible College and the church. Well, the ministry continues to go on like it goes on, like always, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesdays, et cetera, et cetera. But I have a group of pastors back at home as well as a group of interns that serve at the church. And some of them go home during the summer, but most of them stay back. And so they're taking care of the church back in Okinawa. But during the school year, we are very busy with the Bible College, CBI, Calvary Bible College, in Calvary Bible Institute, Japan. And so we're really busy during the year, the school year, where we have international students who are coming from literally different places around the world, and also our Japanese side of the Bible College. So we actually run two Bible colleges side by side. We have, again, the Japanese side of the Bible College, and then we have the English side of the Bible College. And some of the classes will intertwine together with teaching in either English and translating in Japanese, or vice versa. So it's really good that we get the Japanese as well as the English speakers ministering alongside of them together. And so we brought a couple of our Bible College students with us, Tomoya, who is leading worship, Miku, who is singing over here. They are second semester Bible College students, and God willing, this coming semester that begins in September, they'll be graduating coming in December, and just seeing what God is going to do with these young people's lives. So it is a blessing just to continue to serve the Lord as God just does continue to really good things during the summer. Usually the summer, at least for the last 3 or maybe 4 years, I bring a group of Japanese students as well as some interns to come over to America, and we call it SOS America because it's a summer of service where we're not only ministering in Montana with my son out at Great Falls, but also we take a team down to Idaho, and we minister in different places in Idaho. But this year, we just stayed in Hagerman, Idaho, and then here we are today. I mean, a lot of things that are happening. But your pastor asked me to speak about Japan and about CBI Japan there. And so I'm going to do that in the next few moments, but I want to begin in a word of prayer. So would you bow your heads with me one more time? Lord, we thank you, and I thank you personally for this opportunity that I get to stand before this group of wonderful people here. And I pray that, Holy Spirit, that you would give me the words to speak. I pray that your words would come out of my mouth, and not really what I have to say or even what I've planned to say, but I just give you the freedom, Holy Spirit, to really speak to our hearts and to do whatever you want to do in this room tonight. So I also pray, Holy Spirit, that you would glorify Jesus in our midst. So we thank you for this time. It's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray, and we all say, amen. Amen. I asked a couple of the good-looking guys, my son Asa, as well as Jesse, if you guys can pass out a couple of the brochures from CBI. And I would like you to take one of these, and if you could you please, like, man, it would be a blessing for us if you would maybe put it on your refrigerator or somewhere maybe in your prayer area, your prayer closet, and where you lift up different needs. And if you can continue to pray for us in Japan as we continue to preach the gospel message of Jesus Christ, as well as prepare men and women to go out and do ministry in Asia as well as the rest of the world. And really, that is the vision of CBI, Calvary Bible Institute, and that is to train up men and women and to prepare them for life, a life of ministry. Now, that could be a full-time ministry, or every person is called to minister, within the church, within the body of Christ. And that's our prayer, that we want to continue to raise up men and women in the ministry for the Lord's glory. So, yeah, if you could just maybe put that in a refrigerator or somewhere where you would remember and pray for us, that God would just continue to do His wonderful work. I want to begin with a scripture, and if you could turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. Can you turn there? Hebrews chapter 11, and just one verse, verse 6. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. There we go. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And it might be a very common verse for you, but this is really my life verse. This is a verse that just has really stuck with me, and God continues to minister to me through this verse. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says this, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Do you want to please God? Again, one more time. Do you want to please God? I know that you do, that as a believers, we want to please God. And you have to ask yourself that question, wow, please God. I mean, God has everything. God is everything. The universe belongs to Him. How can we please God? And it tells us right here, by stepping out in faith, by living by faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. And really, when you take steps of faith, when you step out in faith for the Lord, you please God. You please the Lord when you step out in faith and do children's ministry, when you step out in faith and do ushering, when you step out in faith and you're a greeter, when you step out in faith and do worship, or I can go on down the line, teaching God's word, et cetera, et cetera, picking up somebody and bringing them to church. You're stepping out in faith. You're pleasing God. And it's so important to understand that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we need to continue to take steps of faith as we go forward in faith for the Lord. Well, my venture of faith started very, very early as I came to know Christ as my Savior and Lord at the age of 18. But I want to jump ahead for you, and I just want to talk about what has happened probably in the last, close to 30 years, maybe a little over than that. Well, it was in 1991 that the Lord called us back to my hometown where I grew up, Corona, California, in Southern California. And it was there that we started the Calvary Chapel there. It was called Calvary Chapel Living Water. And I was pastoring there for 13 years. We just seen God just do some incredible things. And it was such a blessing. And our church was really a missions church. Like I've noticed that your church also does a lot of missions too. And we were especially doing a lot of missions to American Samoa. And you might be wondering, where's American Samoa? So if you have California here, and then you have 5 hours by plane, you have Hawaii, and then you have another 5 hours from there, you have American Samoa. And we were doing a lot of missions work there, and it was quite a wonderful time of just going into the South Pacific and just sharing the gospel, also supporting the Calvary Chapel that was there. But it was during that time as we were doing a lot of missions that God opened the doors for Okinawa, Japan. And this is how it happened pretty much. One day I was just going out to lunch with one of the guys who served in our church, one of our leaders. His name was Rick Barnett. And I said, and he was from Okinawa, Japan. And I said, Rick, do you ever want to go back to Okinawa and go see your family and go down there? And he said, yeah, I'd love to. And I go, well, hey, what if we did a mission trip out there, just me and you, and we head out there, and is there a place for us to stay? He said, yeah, we can stay with my grandma. And so it was like 2 months later that we just jumped on a plane and we headed out to Okinawa, Japan. And when we arrived there, for me personally, just everything made sense for me, everything. And the reason why I say that is because my mom was Japanese. She has now passed away. And my father is Mexican, and he has also passed away now. So I knew nothing about my Japanese side, and I just knew everything about my Mexican side because I grew up with my Mexican cousins, et cetera, et cetera. But when I went to Okinawa, Japan, just everything made sense to me. You know, why my mom did certain things and why she had certain habits and why certain things we ate. And being in Corona, our family was really the only Japanese family there. And so I didn't understand any of our culture. And at that point, when I was in Okinawa, wow, just my eyes were open. And I realized, forgive me for this, I realized, wow, my mom isn't crazy. The things that she did is because she was Japanese, right? And so it was really a special missions trip for us. Well, that missions trip became two missions trips. That missions trip became three missions trips. And we started just sharing the gospel there with the Japanese people. And it was a great thing because as we just went out on the street corners and we went out and played our guitars and just shared the gospel message of Christ, we began to see people get saved. They were coming to know Christ as their Savior and Lord. And through a couple of our missions trips, I was there back with Rick Barnett. He wasn't a pastor quite yet. He was being trained as a pastor. And I remember looking at Rick and I said, Rick, we cannot continue to come back here and just, you know, share the gospel with people and they're getting saved and there's no church for them to come and be a part. And, you know, Rick said, well, I ain't coming back. I'm not going to live here forever. You know, I did when I was a young boy, but I'm in California now. I said, well, I can't come back because, you know, I'm pastoring the church and this isn't what God has for me to do. And I said, just pray about it. And I remember after like our second or third trip together, he came back to America and it was really interesting how God will just get a hold of your heart. And just pretty much his life in California just began to fall apart. It was like all the favor that he had with his boss there at the job, he fell out of favor there. One day they came up to him and said, hey, you're going to have to move because the house that you're renting, we're going to sell it, and et cetera. And I remember him looking at me and saying, what should I do? And I said, well, I think God is calling you to Japan. And his wife was all for it. She said, let's go, let's go, let's go. And Rick was just saying, well, you don't know what it's like in Japan. It's really, in Okinawa, it's really hot and it's really warm there and really humid. But long story short, that God really spoke to Rick's heart and we ended up sending him out to Okinawa, Japan. And he began the first Calvary Chapel there. Now, I'm jumping ahead of myself, forgive me, but you might be wondering, well, where is Okinawa, Japan? So if you can imagine Japan shaped like this, okay, and about 3 hours away from Tokyo through flight is Okinawa, Japan, and it is a small island. Population is very thick. We have 1.3 million people on our island, and to get the idea, that Hawaii has 7 inhabited islands and they only have 1.2 million people on their island. So we have a lot of people on our island. It's densely populated, but again, there's a lot of place. There's a lot of room for growth also. But it's a very beautiful island. It's a tropical island. In fact, we're considered the Hawaii of Japan. Very beautiful water, very, again, beautiful skies, etc. A little side note that also in Okinawa, Japan, we have the longest lifespan in the world. So the people live the longest in Japan, in Okinawa, Japan, in all the world. It would be between an island in Italy and back and forth, but now for sure Okinawa has the longest lifespan in the world. Another thing, too, that Okinawa has the most concentration of centenarians. And what is a centenarian? That is somebody over 100 years old. So we have the highest concentration of 100-year-old people living on the island. And they're very, very active. And it has a lot to do with our clean water and our clean air, like we have here, but also our relaxed lifestyle and the diet that the Okinawans eat. It's a lot of vegetables and fruits and et cetera, just more healthy living. But so it was such a blessing to continue on going back and forth in missions in Japan. And what ended up happening, it was the year 2004, jumping a little bit ahead. I was at the missions conference, at the Calvary Chapel missions conference in Murrieta. It was January, and I was there with my wife and a group of people, and the speaker came up, and he said, you know, some of you have been sending your best guys out, and maybe it's your time to go, that God is calling you to go. And we were quite blessed because at Living Water there in Corona, we had the opportunity of sending out men and also women as missionaries, but men to go out and pastor. And we sent some guys out to different areas of America. And also, like I said, Rick was out in Okinawa by that time. And I remember that the Lord just really just stirred my heart. It was in my heart, it leapt. I was thinking, yeah, it's time for me to go. And I thought that maybe I was just excited. Maybe I was thinking, oh, I'm just excited about it. So, I sat on it for about a month. And at that point, I thought to myself, I said, well, I got to talk to Joanne about this and see what she has to say. And it was February and 2004. And I came to Joanna and I said, hey, I want to take you out to dinner. I took her to her favorite restaurant. And back then it was called Mimi's Cafe. I don't know if you've ever heard of Mimi's Cafe. Well, anyway, we sat down to eat, and right away, Joanne says, okay, what do you want to talk about? And I said, why do you say that? She goes, because you would have never taken me to this restaurant. You would have taken me to the restaurant you wanted to go to. So what do you want to talk about? So I just spilled it out. I just said, you know, I believe that God is calling us to give over the church and to leave and to go to Okinawa, Japan, and start the Calvary Chapel there and plant churches and start the Bible college. And really, to my surprise, Joanna said, yes, I believe that God is calling us to go. And oh, there's so much to share about that and so much faith and so much stepping out in faith. And let me just jump a little ahead because God has been so faithful through our lives for so many years prior to that, close to 20 years it was that we were married before leaving. God was so faithful that when it was time for us to go and move to Japan, it was an easy step. It really was, because, you know, it's a progression of faith. You see God faithful in the little things. God has always been faithful in doing miracles and miracles and miracles. And so when he asks you to do something really big in your life, it's an easy step of faith. It's big, but it's easy because you've seen God's faithfulness before. So if our life just jumped from where we were at to that, taking this step of faith, it probably would never happen. But because we saw God's faithfulness, that when he asked us to move on and to move to Japan, it was easy. I tell people that moving to Japan and being a missionary was the easiest thing that we've ever did. It's also the hardest thing that we ever did. The hardest thing was leaving family and friends, because you can imagine living our whole lives in California, pastoring the church for 13 years, just being a part of the ministry there. Leaving family and friends was the hardest thing. But it's also the easiest thing that we ever did, moving to Japan, because God did everything for us. He does everything. If you allow him to do everything, God will do it. You know, the Bible tells us to have childlike faith, not childish faith. Right? No, I don't want to do this. But childlike faith, like your children, for those of you who have young children, for those of you who remember having young children, now they're older, you know, your kids didn't worry about where they were going to sleep or what they were going to eat or even what they were going to dress because what they were going to wear, because you provided for them, right? And we're to have that childlike faith, to trust in the Lord to provide and to meet all of our needs. We are to have that childlike faith. And so as we just trusted in God to do all the rest, he really did the rest. God did it. God did the work. And for some of you, that God is calling you into the mission field and God is calling you to take a step of faith, whatever he's telling you to do, just say yes to the Lord, because that's really well-pleasing. When you say yes to God, it is well-pleasing to him. And if you let him, he'll do the rest. All you have to do is say yes to the Lord. We had the opportunity to minister to the college groups as we're having our retreat right now, our little time together. And we talked about that God is not looking for your abilities, but he's just looking for your availability. That's it. You say yes to God. You say yes to God, you're the perfect candidate to be used by God. Just say yes to God, because God's not looking for your abilities. You know, he's looking for your availability. And so me and Joanna made our way to Japan, and we stepped out in faith. But we didn't step out in faith alone, because we took with us our four children. At that time, Zach was 14 years old. Hannah, my other daughter, was 11. Michelle was 8. And Asa was only a year and a half old. And we stepped out in faith, and we began to see God just do miraculous things. Right away, we began the Bible college. Right then, when we landed that September, we actually, I told you that God called us in January of 2004. And it was July 30th that we packed up and we left to Japan. And we arrived July 31st, I still remember, 2004. And we only came with 6 of us and 11 suitcases and one big surfboard, I always tell people, because I like to surf. And so we went there and we just stepped out in faith, and we've seen God just do miraculous things through Calvary Chapel and through the Bible College. We started the Bible College in that September of that year, started out with just night classes. Back then, we are a part of CCBC, Calvary Chapel Bible College. And so we've been involved in a Bible college since 2004 in Japan, but it was 3 years ago that we switched over to Calvary Bible Institute, as we just continue to follow along in Pastor Chuck's vision of really getting young people involved, serving in the ministry, preparing them for a lifetime of ministry. Now, for some people, it's a lifetime of full-time ministry, but for some, they'll be doing it as they are working full-time in the world, et cetera, et cetera. But ministry is always to be a part of our life. And that was always Pastor Chuck's vision, to get people involved in ministry. And CBI is such an incredible, incredible ministry. When you get a chance, you can also look up calvarybibleinstitute.com. And if you look up there, you'll just, from that webpage, it will point you to all the Bible colleges, all the Calvary Chapel Bible Institutes that are literally global around the world. So we have our CBIs here in America, as some of you might know. But then also we have a lot of international Bible colleges all over the world through CBI. And we're just training up different people in different countries for the work of God. Let me tell you a little bit about CBI before I talk about the Japanese people. And CBI is a one-year program. And in 1 year, the students will go through the whole Bible, 66 books. They'll study through the Bible. Now, it's two semesters. And so we divide up the semesters in, two semesters, and we divide it into 33 books each semester. And so we only have one textbook, and that is the New King James Wide Margin Bible. That is our only textbook. And what happens is the students take their notes directly into their Bibles. And if they finish the year program, and the way it is at CBI, is that you can go to Okinawa, Japan one semester, and then you can also go the next semester in Israel, or vice versa, or California, or out there in the deep south, or in different places, Southern California, and you can graduate within a year. And so as you study through 33 books, we go, wow, that's a lot of books. Yeah, that is. 6 books we study through for 16 weeks, 6 books. But then we have 13 books that we go through block classes. And that means that a teacher, we have a special pastor who comes in and he teaches a book of the Bible. He teaches it for 9 hours of instruction, 3 hours a day for 3 days. And then the other 18 books, they listen through Chuck tracks, and they listen it just like a classroom setting. They don't speed up Pastor Chuck's voice because he can take some pauses, right? So we don't speed it up. We have the pauses in order for the students to be able to write notes in their Bible. So at the point that within the year time, they will have their own commentary on the Bible. And at that point, it continues just really a lifetime of studying. But as they go on in life, for those who go into ministry and on the missions field, but those who continue on just to serve within the church, as they're asked to do Sunday school classes or to teach the youth group or teach home Bible studies or women's Bible studies or men's Bible studies, they already have their own commentary on the Bible here, and they're able to add from that and continue to study on. Now, I really believe in the program of CVI. I'm really totally blessed with it on how it's set up, because our whole goal is to get young people and all groups of people into the Word of God, into a lifetime of studying the Scriptures. A little side note, CVI is also expanding, and it's really exciting at this point, where CBI, they just started, or they will start this semester, and it's going to be called CBI Military. And so we're offering those who are in active duty military, also those who are retired in the military, their spouses, etc., that they're able to join CBI. And it's a little bit of a different program. It's not a year program, but it's a two-year program. But it allows them to be able to study, as well as if they're transferred to different bases and different areas of the country and also the United States, they can continue to study in through CBI. So we at in Okinawa, Japan, we're also one of the schools that are sponsored there within CBI. So that's one of the exciting things that's going to be happening. You're going to be probably hearing more about that from your pastor as more of the information will be sent on. But CBI is a great organization. It's a great Bible college, and I really believe in it because we are just getting young people in the Word of God, just studying the Scriptures, preparing them for life and for the life to come. Do you understand that throughout throughout eternity, we're always going to have God's Word. God's Word's always going to be with us. And it's such a wonderful thing for us just to get to know God's Word now as God is preparing us for great things. And really, as you think about as the millennial reign of Christ, as we believe here at Calvary Chapel, and as we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ, what God has in store for us in the future. So, so incredible. But you know, I do want to spend some time here talking to you about Japan and about the Japanese people, because it is very interesting. I want to tell you guys something, that Japan is a first world country. We used to be the second largest economy in the world, but Japan is now the third largest economy in the world. Number one, the world's largest economy is the United States. The second world's largest economy is what? China, exactly. All right. But soon, China will become number three and Japan will be number four. Why? Who will take the number one spot? India. India is going to take the spot. It's going to happen really quick. They're just going to jump to the front. They're expecting that to happen soon. But right now, Japan is a first world country, the third largest economy in the world. But less than 1% of the Japanese people are Christian. Less than 1%. So we're talking about 130 million people living in the size of California, okay? In America, we have roughly 330 million people in all of America. But Japan has 130 million people the size of California. And there's less than 1% of the people are Christians. Less than 1%. Listen to this. This is very important, too, to also understand this. 95% of the Japanese people have never heard of the love of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. 95% of the Japanese people have never, ever heard of the love of Jesus Christ. Now, I personally took this to the streets of Okinawa and I said, is this true? So I had a bunch of pictures of different famous people. I had Jackie Chan. I had the Prime Minister of Japan. I had the President of the United States. I had Santa Claus. And I had different people. And I went to people and say, hey, do you know who this is? And they're like, yeah, that's Jackie Chan. Do you know this? That's Santa Claus. You know, that, oh, it's our prime minister. And I showed a picture of Jesus, a very famous picture of Jesus, you know, the one with his heart on fire and stuff like that. And they look and they go, don't know. You don't know this picture. Don't know who it is. Okay. I go on, and then all of a sudden I show them the famous nativity scene. Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus in the manger, et cetera, et cetera. Do you know who this is? And the Japanese people say, I don't know who this is. Except for the young people. Some of the very young people go, yeah, I know who this is. Elementary kids. That's Jesus. We learned about him in our world religions class. We know who Jesus. That's Jesus. Yeah, we heard about him. But they've never heard about Jesus. They've never heard about the love of Jesus Christ. No one has ever told them about Jesus. Okay? Listen, it's very important. You know, the word for sinner in Japanese is sumi. Okay? And a sinner, though, the word sumi means murder. So if I tell an American person, hey, you're a sinner and you need to repent of your sins, most of them are like, yeah, dude, I'm a sinner. Forget it. I want to party on, right? If you tell a Japanese person they're a sinner, they're going to go, no, I'm not. Because a sinner means that they murdered someone. And most Japanese people have not murdered anyone. And so as a result of that, you need to explain to them, well, no, let me explain to you what sin is. And I really like doing what Ray Comfort does. You know, have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever lusted in your heart and stuff? And they're like, yeah, I have. You know, and then, well, that is sin. And the Bible says the soul that sins shall surely die. Your sins have cut you off from fellowship with God. And so God loves you very deeply. He loves you so much. And so he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. And they're like, so what? Who's Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And so you need to explain to them that, again, my sin cut me off from God. And so no one could ever bring me back into God's fellowship. That fellowship was broken, and so someone had to pay the penalty for my sin. So God sent his own dear son. His son was born, and he lived on this earth, and he drew people to God, and he died on the cross for our sins. He paid the penalty for your sins. He died in your stead so that you would be brought in fellowship with God. Because God loves you and he wants to bring you in fellowship with him. That's the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And the Japanese people really will look at that and they'll say this, you mean God's not angry with me? Because religion is all about appeasing an angry God. Religion is what I can do to reach God, right? All religions are about what I can do to reach God. But Christianity is what God has done for us. God has lovingly reached down and he has loved us and he's reached us. God loves us. And so to explain the gospel message of Jesus Christ to the Japanese, once they hear it, it begins to just, they'll think about it. I've never met anyone who, even in America, who's ever, I shared the gospel for the first time, which is very rare, that they accept Christ right away. It's usually a process, right? A chain, an event of someone sharing with them. But when a Japanese person really hears the gospel, they think about it. Let me think about this. Let me meditate on this. But as people continue to share with them that message of Jesus Christ, they come to know Christ as their Savior and Lord because the gospel makes sense, gang. The gospel makes sense. Let me use these true analogies with you. When we're pastoring the church, I'm pastoring the church, there's people who come to the church. They come week after week. And it's like, why do they keep on coming? They're not saved, but why do they keep on coming? Because they feel something different. They're experiencing God's love. They don't know it's God's love, but they know something. Something's drawn them back again. And I've told Joanna this many times. If that person keeps on coming back, they're going to get saved. They're going to get saved because the gospel makes sense. And sure enough, eventually you give an altar call and they raise their hand. And they get saved. And they come to know Christ as their Savior and Lord. And Japanese people are very loyal once they get saved. I mean, they're committed to Christ. But listen, the thing is that we need more people in Japan to share the message of Christ's love. We need more missionaries. We need more missionaries. Follow along with me. With this. In China, do you know in China there are literally 1,000 people being saved every day? There's 1.3 billion people in China. Think about that. Almost five populations of America living in China right now. The gospel is spreading in China. They don't need missionaries. They're doing a great job. They are doing a great job of sharing the gospel there. Not only that, in the Philippines, God has poured out his spirit upon the Philippines in a great way. I mean, you guys know the Christianity is just flowing there. God has poured out his spirit upon Korea. Korea is blessed today as a result of the gospel reaching Korea. They're kind of in a post-Christian era like America, but they are experiencing still the blessings of Christ and them turning to the Lord. Listen, God has poured out his spirit upon Taiwan. God has poured out his spirit on Indonesia, all the surrounding areas. But did you know that there has not been ever a documented revival in Japan? Why is that? Does God not love the Japanese people? Of course God loves the Japanese people. But why has there not been a documented true revival in Japan as of yet? And I believe what one missionary once said. And he said this, because Japan is Satan's last stronghold in Asia. Listen to me. That Japan is Satan's last stronghold in Asia. God has poured out his spirit all over Asia except for Japan. And Satan's last stronghold. He wants to hold on to Japan. But we need to reach Japan with the gospel message of Christ. You know, a lot of people, they look at missions and they think, oh, yeah, we need to go to Africa, rightly so. We need to go to different countries around the world, Guatemala, South America. We need to continue to go out to China. We need to go all over these places. And oftentimes people overlook Japan because they look at them and they think, yeah, they're morally good. And Japanese people are morally good. I mean, our country is clean. I mean, there's no trash cans out in the city. People don't throw litter on the ground. They take their trash with them home, and then they throw it away at home. I mean, the Japanese people are very morally good. I mean, they go to work. They're more committed to work than to family. It's wrong, but that's the way it is. Japanese people are very moral, but they're morally lost. They don't know Christ as their Savior and Lord. The gospel message has not been preached to the Japanese people. Listen, there's also a saying that says this, that no one should be able to hear the gospel twice unless everyone has heard it at least once. And I'm telling you, the Japanese people need to hear of the love of Jesus Christ. And we need more missionaries in Japan. We really, really do. Well, what happened? What happened to Japan? Let me explain this to you. So it goes back to World War II. You guys all understand, World War II, we were involved and we were in warfare with Japan. And remember that it was a real devastating thing. Well, the America, we ended up winning the war. We won World War II, and we demanded that Japan unconditionally surrendered. Unconditionally surrendered. You know what that means? That means there's no conditions. That they unconditionally surrendered. Whatever we told them to do on that surrender, they had to do it. And one of the things that they had to do is that the emperor had to go on national radio, okay, and he needed to tell the Japanese people that they have surrendered. And not only that, the emperor denounced his deity because the Japanese people worshiped the emperor. They said he was God. He was a god. And he had to denounce his deity. And when he did that, the Japanese people thought and said, well, our God lost, so the God of the West must be a God. And their women, like Mabel Francis and some of the documents that we have through some of the denominations, that during that time after World War II, those missionaries that did stay and some did remain, that they saw such an increase in baptisms and conversions were really great. Well, how many of you remember a very famous general by the name of General MacArthur? You ever heard of General MacArthur? Well, when we won the war against Japan, World War II, that General MacArthur was put in charge of getting Japan back on their feet because Japan was devastated. It was bombed. It was in flames. Tokyo was literally in flames and destroyed. And so General MacArthur was put in charge of getting Japan back on its feet. And General MacArthur asked for two things from the American people. He said, number one, send your Western teachers. They've been so closed off to Western teaching, studies, medicine, etc. Send your Western teachers. They need to understand the West. Send your Western teachers. They need to understand the ways of the West. And number two, General MacArthur said, and send your missionaries. They need to hear about Jesus. And guess what? No one came. Why didn't they come? Because of prejudice. What happened during World War II? We were bombed in Pearl Harbor, right? Never been attacked on our soil like that before. And so the American people were prejudiced, and no one came. And guess what? Japan slipped into materialism. They slipped into pouring all their money into infrastructure and into education. And they didn't have to spend it in defense because they were not allowed to have an army. Even to this day, they only have a defense force. But what ended up happening is Japan grew back up as a nation without God because no one came. No one came. And so Japan slipped and grew up as a nation without God. First world country. Did you guys know that Japan has the highest suicide rate in the world? The highest suicide rate in the world. And you know what day of the week is the highest suicide rate day? Monday morning. Because they have to go back to work. And they realize, this is my life. Until I'm 67 years old, I'm going to do what I'm doing. I'm going to pour my life into work. I have no hope. There's no hope of eternity. There's no hope for me, really. And so when the train goes by, they jump in front of it. And sadly enough, literally, the train sweeps up whatever's left and gets that train going and gets it going. There's a lot I can say about that, but I'll leave it at that. And that is this, that the Japanese people have no hope. They have no hope. They don't have the hope of the gospel. We have the hope of eternity. Gang, the best is yet to come, right? This is the worst that life will ever be for us. Eternity waits us. For those who are unsaved, this is the best that life will be for them, right? Because eternal damnation awaits them. And so the Japanese people don't have a hope. They need to hear about the gospel message of Christ. And they won't hear unless we go. They won't hear unless we go. Now, listen, I'm telling you, some people, and I look on the internet and I look what missionaries say. They go, oh, you know, Japan is such a hard place. They call it the graveyard of missionaries. The missionaries go there and they just are like, oh, they feel like they didn't affect anything and they don't see people getting saved and they just get discouraged and they leave. But the gospel message, when you go there, it's effective. God is working. Let me tell you a couple stories, just so incredible. Some of them brought me to tears because I'm talking to some of our Bible college students and, oh, I don't think I have the time to talk about the commitments that the Japanese people, when they commit to Bible college, it's really a commitment. But, you know, I remember asking one of our Bible college students, hey, how did you get saved, you know? And she ended up staying. Her name's Aya. And she goes, well, you know, an American missionary came and taught English to my mom. And when she taught to my mom, you know, we were little kids and we'd just sit there and we would sit and listen. But she would teach English to my mom. And as she taught English, she led my mom to the Lord. My mom got saved. And then as a result of my mom getting saved, then we got saved, and my dad got saved, and et cetera, et cetera. And I go, whatever happened to that missionary person? She goes, I don't know. We don't know whatever happened to her. She left Japan. And I thought to myself, and this is what touched me, I realized, you know what, that lady, I wonder if that lady thought, wow, I spent 2 years in Japan, and I just taught English, and I led that one lady to the Lord, you know. That's it. That's all I did. Maybe she left Japan a failure, feeling she was a failure. But she doesn't realize that through her leading that one person to Christ as her Savior and Lord, that their children got saved, the husband got saved, and their family members who got saved. And that girl now is in Bible college to this day, serving Jesus Christ, just because one lady taught English to a Japanese lady and led her to the Lord. You follow me? Another story. Ask some of these older ladies, and I go, hey, how did you get saved? When did you first get saved? And they go, oh, I got saved at a VBS. I go, really? So these are ladies in their 40s now, 45, 50 maybe. And I go, really? You got saved as a young girl? And she goes, yeah, when, you know, missionaries came and they did a VBS. And at the VBS, I gave my heart to Jesus. And then what ended up happening, though, as I grew up, I just kind of went my own way and just lived my life, high school, college, got married. And then all of a sudden, I heard the gospel again. And I gave my life back to Jesus. And I remember when I was a little girl accepting Christ as my Savior and Lord. And now she's serving the Lord to this day. All because probably a missions team just came and did a two-week or one-week VBS. And they thought, what did you do in Japan? I just did a VBS. And kids get saved? Yeah, kids got saved. But these kids are still serving the Lord to this day. There's a pastor who pastors at Calvary Chapel Naha in Okinawa, Japan. You know how he got saved? Someone gave him a track. Somebody. Some missionary just gave him a track. He went home and he read it and he got saved. You know how Miku got saved? Someone gave her a track. And she read it. And she came to know Christ as her Savior and Lord. God did that. And now to this day, and she has a good journey, a good testimony to share with you, how God brought her to Bible college and stuff like that, because she received a track. And so I'm telling you, I mean this with all my heart, okay, that pray for Japan, pray for more missionaries, pray for mission teams to come and just share the gospel. I was speaking to your pastor, Dan, about this. I said, you know, Dad, we host mission teams all the time. It's such a blessing, and they're so important. Long-term missions, short-term missions, really cool. And I said, but you know, when you come to Japan, we don't need you to build, structures or do physical work, you know. And what we need you to do is we just need you to share the gospel. We go out witnessing and we do certain events where we reach out in areas. It's our ministry in Japan is really relational, just reaching out with the gospel message of Christ, showing the love of Jesus Christ to people. We don't need you to build anything. And we've had some missionaries who didn't like the mission trip because they felt like, well, I never did anything with my hands. Like it's all about works, right? And it was works, you know. I work on the mission field and I come home and I'm a lazy bum. I don't mean that, okay? But do you understand? It's like you're doing your penance. I'm going to do missions to do work and then I want to come back and live my own life. It's not like that, right? It's a daily life. But the whole idea is in Japan, we don't need so much physical labor, but we need relational. We need you to go out with us and go witnessing on the corner and pass out tracts and talk with people about Jesus. We have some translators, but even more, Japan is such an incredible thing, Okinawa especially, because we have literally all of Asia come and visit us. We have Koreans and Chinese and Hong Kong, people from Hong Kong, Hong Kongese. I like Hong Kongese, but it's not that Hong Kongese. People from Hong Kong, Taiwanese come. People from Korea, did I say that? The Philippines. And so they come and they vacation there. And so not only do we have Japanese tracks, but we also have Chinese tracks. And just different people and a lot of Americans there. Another thing I didn't even mention there, that we have a strong American presence in Okinawa, Japan. In fact, we have 10 military bases. It used to be 9 military bases in Okinawa. Now we have 10 because we have now a small space force. Okay, so now it's 10. But we have a strong American presence there, and we share the gospel there too with the Americans. Now, in Okinawa, you have some churches that are all Japanese, and you have some churches all American. Okay, our church is bilingual. So I preach in English, and I have a translator right next to me that's translated in Japanese, back and forth, back and forth. If someone's teaching in Japanese, we translate into English. So we have a majority of our people in the church are Japanese, or the guys who come, they're married to Japanese, et cetera, but we have a lot of Japanese people in our church. And I always am amazed, you know, why they keep on coming back, because I don't know any Japanese. I mean, my Japanese is horrendous. They laugh at me,
because I make up my own Japanese words and I get what I want, okay? But the thing is that what it is that they experience the love. It's the love that draws them back. They know that that you're loved. Love is international, gang. If people feel loved, you don't have to be able to have to speak their language to the language of love is just there. And the Japanese people feel that love, and they're drawn to that. And your love is just going to reach them for Jesus Christ. So my prayer is that, you know, maybe God will open up the doors, that some of you who have been praying about what is God calling you to do in life, maybe I pray that God will call you to be a missionary in Japan. I pray that God will call you for short-term missions. I pray that God will call you to long-term missions. People ask me, is short-term missions effective? You guys have heard the story already. I just told you. Short-term missions is so effective. It's so effective to reach the lost. It's effective to sparking and getting the church excited, our church. When missionaries come through, it's exciting, and it sparks the church and the friendships that continue to evolve. And, you know, we're able to host the missions teams. We're just with the Bible College and what we're doing, we're able to host teams. It's very easy because we also have our cafe, our ministry cafe. We're at the Bible College also. That we cook all three meals there, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the Bible College students. And when missions teams come in, it's very easy to accommodate with them, as well as God has really blessed us in Japan that we have also another building that we just acquired, and we are able to use that for the Bible College children's ministry and also for missions teams when they come by. So it's really a blessing. But, you know, God is doing a great work. Let me just say that. So with that, we have 8 Calvary chapels now located on the island of Okinawa. And we still need about a dozen more. And the reason why I say that is because in Okinawa, I already told you there's 1.3 million people. So there's a pocket of 50,000 here and 75,000 here and 150,000 here and 300,000 in Naha, the capital. You know, there's different areas, and we're located in Ginawan City, and we have, I think, 57,000 people in our city alone, small area. But we need to plant churches in these different areas. Okay, we can't expect them to come to us, but we need to come to them. We need to go in that area, and what we like to do is open up a cafe, and when I say that cafe, just more an English school, and then all of a sudden start teaching Bible studies out of that and eventually planting the church. And as we speak, we're in the process of planting one especially, but I'm just waiting for that one guy to take that step of faith. And if you're hearing me on this recording, you hear me to step out in faith, because he's been doing a Bible study for over 2.5 years, and the next step is just to start, right? Just to go out. But we're still in the process of raising up men and women for the ministry, and still in the process of planting churches, not only just on our island, but also in mainland. We sent out some guys to go out and pastor, and there's just so many churches that we need to plant, because planting churches is the most effective way to preach the gospel. It's the most effective way. You're in that community. They see you. They know you. You get to be known in the community. You're sharing the gospel. As a result of that, a church is raised up. So would you continue to pray for us? Pray for us in Japan, right? Ooh, I spoke a lot, and I wanted to make some room for some questions and stuff that you might have to ask about Japan while I was spitting out so many things. Maybe there's like a question that you might want to ask. I might not have the answer for it, or I might, but if you have a question, I would like to give you guys the opportunity to ask a question if you'd like at this time. Does anyone like to ask a question? Anyone? Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. It might just spark my brain into a good thing. Yes, ma'am. What was that? I'm sorry. What is the best length for short-term missions? Thank you so much. We have noticed that the best time is 10 days. A 10-day trip is usually the best, okay? Because that gives you at least 7 days on island with us. And so 10 days, I say, because what happens is when you travel it usually takes one whole day and a half to get there. So you lose one day. So if you leave on Monday, you usually arrive in Japan on Tuesday night because you pass the international date line, and so you lose that day. But then when you come home, you gain that day back. So if you leave on a Monday at 10 o'clock, you usually arrive back in America that same day, oftentimes before 10 o'clock in the morning. So 10 days is usually a good number for short-term missions, okay? Let me say this also, that that we just don't accept anyone to come also on a mission trip. If an individual person wants to come on a missions trip, first of all, we need to make sure that you line up with your pastor. How does your pastor feel about this? Is he behind this trip? And we usually contact the pastor and get to know you a little bit more. And once the pastor gives his approval, then that opens us up because we want to make sure that people are coming with like-minded vision with us. And then also working with a pastor, with a missions team. Oh, those are really great because we're able to come and just accommodate them in that way. But, you know, we got to line up with our vision. You know, and that vision is a vision that we received through Calvary Chapel, through Pastor Chuck. You know, there's no hierarchy in our Calvary chapels, okay? We have some leadership over us, but each church is autonomous. It's governed by ourselves. There's no headship or leadership. Pastor Chuck would always tell us this. He would say, hey, you guys are in charge of your churches, you know? I have my hands full with our church here. You guys continue to go forward, but we're a like-minded body of Christ, right? Where we're fellowshipping together. And so we want to make sure those who are coming and being a part of Calvary Chapel, Ginawan, CBI, that they have like vision with Calvary Chapel and our whole idea and our philosophy of ministry, right? That we've learned through Pastor Chuck. And so that's really, really important. All right. Anybody else? Any other questions? Yes, sir.
You make it sound like that there's not a lot of pushback when you guys go out. And is that true? Or?
Yeah. What do you mean by pushback, first of all? Good job. Thank you. No. In fact, we are freer in Japan than I would say that you are freer in some ways in America, okay? Because I'll say this also. So going back to General MacArthur, when the unconditional surrender, did you know that Japan's constitution is the United States Constitution, but just with a Japanese label on it? Because what they had adopted, America said, this is now your constitution. You follow the United States Constitution. And so, a little side note, I won't get into detail, but during COVID, when things were really, really tight here in America and around the world, we were, in a sense, pretty free in Japan. Japan could only, because the Constitution says that you cannot demand anything upon your people, right? So Japan followed that, but they suggested things like we didn't have to wear masks. We were told to wear masks, but we were required. We were told that we should close our churches, but we weren't forced to close our churches because the Constitution and the American Constitution tells us you can't do that. You understand? So Japan was following the American Constitution better than America was following the Constitution in that. So we were pretty free during that. So with that, you can spread the gospel. You can share the gospel on the street corners. In fact, just recently, we were sharing the gospel on a street corner. And one of the worker guys came over and he said, hey, you guys can't share here. You know, you're too close to our business. And I go, no, we can share. And, you know, sometimes I'm really bold and I freak out the Japanese people, okay? Because the Japanese people are so wonderful and they're very submissive and very loving. And so when someone tells them to do something, they're like, okay, we can't. So they said, Pastor Tom, we can't share right here. They told us we can. I go, yes, we can. So the guy comes up and says, hey, you can't share the gospel. I mean, you can't be doing what you're doing here. You're too close to our business and da-da-da-da, and we're going to call the police. And I'm all like, you know, I'm not mean. I just go, okay, go ahead. Call the police. You know, you can. I already know that we're legal to share the gospel on this street corner. And so we continue to do it, and people are nervous a little bit. And I go, don't worry about it. Just share the gospel, man. There's going to be satanic opposition. There's going to be spiritual warfare. And so sure enough, the guy comes up and says, well,
you guys can do what you're doing, but just stay off our area. And I say, yeah, no problem. Thanks a lot. You know, see you later. And we just continue to share the gospel message. And so it's open. We, in Japan, it's free to share the gospel message. But just 2 hours away, North Korea, which we can't visit, you cannot share the gospel message. China, you cannot openly share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. But in Japan, we are free to share in the street corners, to pass out tracts, to have church services, to just go forward. And we have a big open door. But just like anything, that door might be closing. Immigration is starting to get tighter in Japan with our new prime minister. She's tightening things up. But it's still a pretty big open door for us to share the gospel. So, yeah, it's wonderful that we get to share there. I pray that me and my wife get to spend the rest of our life in Japan because we really love it there, and we're just so grateful to be able to share God's love there. But, you know, whatever the Lord has for us, but we want to be open always to the Holy Spirit. But God is doing a great work, and we're excited for the work in Japan. And please, that's the biggest thing, would you continue to pray for us? That's what we just need. I mean that with all my heart. All my heart. When you pray for us, man, it's just spiritual just supplies coming our way. And we need your prayers. Please continue to pray for us. And also with our young people. You know, it's such a blessing that we have a lot of young people. We have a lot of young interns who are serving the Lord. Even right now as I speak, they're there. Young people, CBI graduates, young missionaries who have a vision for Japan, and they're learning the language. They're learning so quick because they want to go out and they want to plant churches in different areas of Japan. Continue to pray for us. Amen? Amen. Oh, thank you so much for listening, for giving me this opportunity to share with you guys and to tell you a little bit more about Japan and CBI. So one last thing, please continue. Like I already said, pray for us. Pray for CBI. Pray for more open doors. And I didn't even get to tell you guys that every semester we take the students into Taiwan and we do a missions trip twice a year with the CBI students. And there's an open door there as we're just ministering to the children in Taiwan. And that's my prayer, is that we would start a Calvary Chapel in Taiwan. Also in Taiwan, there's no Calvary Chapels. There's no official Calvary Chapels in Taiwan. And there's open doors there. And that's my heart too, to reach out into Taiwan and start spreading the gospel there and planting Calvary Chapels in that area. So pray for Taiwan too, okay? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity that I was able to just share about Japan and about CBI. And God, I pray if any of my words were confusing, that you would just really settle it in their hearts and their minds to really understand what I shared and the heart of what I'm sharing. May it glow in their hearts. I pray that Japan would glow in their hearts, that they would pray, and that you would light a fire in their hearts to pray for all of Asia, that will continue to reach the gospel message of Jesus Christ to the Japanese people. So bless the people here. Bless the church here. Continue to do your good work. And we just thank you so much. It's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And we all say, amen.